Hello and thank you for joining me for this week's Arts in France. In mid-October, the Museum of Humankind, the Musée de l'Homme, reopened in Paris. It had been closed for 6 years. 16,000 square metres opposite the Eiffel Tower have been refitted and restored, and probably more importantly, rethought. The imposing museum has been around since 1937, exhibiting France's anthropological treasures and archaeological finds. The Gallery of Humankind is bright and airy, using natural light and lots of white background. Zed and Co., the architects who designed the layout, wanted to create a space like a sculpture garden where visitors can meander around the exhibits. Behind tall windows, the different levels of the main section leads visitors through three areas. Each tries to answer a fundamental question. Who are we? Where do we come from? Where are we going? In the middle of the room stands an enormous sculpture of a tongue in white resin. Given the Museum of Humankind's concern for anatomy, it's a well-studied replica of the whole machinery. And it's at the heart of museum ethnomusicologist Susan Furniss's work.
We have here a reproduction of a tongue, which talks and which sings also. I mean, it's the larynx, actually. It's the vocal folds.
Most people perhaps wouldn't recognize this as a tongue.
No, we come here from the back, and when you're on the other side, you're on the front of the tongue, and you can even get into the tongue. And there you will hear a musical program with vocal music from all over the world.
Is it working now?
It is working now, so please come and listen.
Like in a cave.
We're in a cave, and there's a screen. You touch it, and here you have a recitation of a very old Indian Rig Veda.
And you just listen to it for about 40 seconds.
Yes, it accepts 40 seconds to 1 minute with music from all over the world, presenting the vocal techniques, and then one part presents the voice and the spiritual world with a Sufi song or a priest and Catholic polyphonies and origin of world rituals.
So here, for example, we can see something like a rain dance, in
yes.
fact. It won't make me popular here in Paris at this time of year, but let's
Not
try that.
Really.
Where is this from?
This is from Indonesia. And it's sung at the beginning of the rain season, and it celebrates the new vegetal cycle. It's sung in a choir with many people turning around while dancing. And the objective is to make the rain come. With the choice here of the examples, we are also in the relationship between man and nature, and man and environment.
You had to make a selection
yes,
of these extracts. How did you go about doing that?
Well, first of all, there's a sound archive owned by the Musée de l'Homme and the CNRS, which has recordings from all over the world. And then the organizers of the exhibition asked us to integrate more Western music. And so we integrated classical singing and pop singing and the death metal singing, because it's the same vocal techniques as traditional music, so-called traditional music. So it is a program which shows people from here and now and people from over there being very different, but using the same vocal folds and the same voice in order to make music and to relate to the environment and to the surnatural world.
I'll see if I can hear a little bit of the Western music. Yeah. It's pop music, you said, right. Staying Alive by the Bee Gees. So the Bee Gees have the same kind of vocal technique and the structure, the machinery is the same as for somebody who's yodeling in the Alps, who's singing
right.
a song to bring rain in Indonesia.
Yes, exactly. This is an example for head voice, which is mainly a very high ambitus register and a very fine voice quality compared to breast voice, which is a bit lower and which is fuller. You know?
Where do we find that more often then?
Everywhere. That's the normal way of speaking.
Singing also.
A little further on in the gallery, in a 4-foot-high cabinet on a magical 3D film with a birdsong soundtrack, miniature archaeologists do clever things with fossil and flint finds. The broken pieces grow, come apart, and magically fit back together again and diminish. Up the stairs to the middle section, where I met a flesh and blood Neolithic transition archaeologist, Jean-Denis Vignes. He explained that his period of study is key to understanding what's happening to humans today.
The idea of all this part of the exhibition is to make connection between from where are we coming and where are we going. But with the idea that at the beginning of the Neolithic, you have a very important time when a lot of different regions at different rhythm finally went to this new way of life with increase of demography, increase of social complexity, modification of the techniques, domestication, agriculture, husbandry. And this is the beginning of something that we have still living today, and this is the origin of the big question that our societies are addressing today, and the idea that humanity is taking more and more important role at the surface of the Earth, and how will we adapt ourselves to this new situation? And here in the Neolithic we show several things attesting that humans already adapted 10,000 years ago, such as the capability of some people to digest liquid milk at the adult age, such as all the tools which allowed people to exploit domestic animals and domestic plants. But also, we are showing in this part that already at that time, people were deeply impacting their environments and managing them. Plants and animals are already genetically modified, not intentionally, of course, but they are at the root of this question. Shall we go on modifying the biological component around us, and how much, what can be the dangers of this, what can be the advantage for the humanities, and are we able to make the good choices for not only the near future, but the long term of our species?
The Museum of Humankind is full of interactive exhibits, and there's even one in the Where Are We Going section, which considers the effects of globalization. One of the main attractions there is a real Senegalese bus rapide, a minivan which provides a public bus service. It's been redecorated in local bright colours like a cartoon book done by the peintres rapides, the special bus painters. You can climb into it, sit on a bench on one side and watch the streets of Dakar go by in a film. Alain Eppelboin is the anthropologist who came up with the idea of bringing the minibus to the Museum of Humankind in Paris as an exhibit. He says it's a great example of popular Senegalese art, and he's gleeful in pointing out the irony of a clapped-out minibus ready for the scrap heap, finding itself all done up in smart new surroundings in France whence it came. Alain Eppelboin.
It's a subject which a number of anthropologists and researchers are studying, how contemporary objects are taken by local populations and transformed. They make them their own, give them a second life. In the car rapide, the express bus in the front seat, you can see all the driver's talismans which will protect him from accidents. And in the case opposite, you can see all the old-style, extremely traditional talismans made of things found in their surroundings. Natural materials, plants or bones, and skulls. We can see how these local secret crafts have been applied to modern manufactured items, padlocks, mirrors, shoes and footballs, which makes the magic relevant today.
The museum is also exploring many ways of bringing scientists closer to the general public in a society where their work often goes unnoticed. Archaeologist Jean-Denis Vigne.
It's really exciting to be able to explain to people, and it's also very difficult. So I encourage the public to come here first to look at the beautiful objects and architecture, and second to be a little bit patient and look more into detail to the text, and maybe to come several times, because the exhibition is very long and there is a lot of things to see. And we mix in these places prehistory, Neolithic transition, and modern objects. So we want people to make connection between the past, this Neolithic transition especially, and the modern questions.
Is the new Musée de l'Homme, the Museum of Mankind, a better bridge between science and the general public?
This is what we hope. We will develop a series of temporary exhibitions which will shed light on more precise activities of the scientists and how they can contribute to the society about our big challenges. It's not only to say to the public, look at that, scientists have the answer to your question. No, it's only to say scientists have something to tell in the society, and the society will take this into consideration or not, and it will decide what will be its future trajectory.
A revamp was well overdue, and in the end the work went well over budget. But the Museum of Humankind, the Musée de l'Homme, is now a place to which 21st century visitors of all ages can relate, even outside of school trips. A space is dedicated to temporary exhibitions, incorporating contemporary art. First up, the installations of Cameroonian artist Pascal Martin Tailloux, an advocate of the constant reinvention of cultures. In 2016, the temporary exhibition will consider how prejudice turns into racism. The new slogan for the museum is, "Humankind evolves, so does its museum in Paris." Staying alive, staying alive. We're the city breaking and everybody shaking. Staying alive, staying alive. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Thank you for joining me, Roslyn Hyams, for Arts in France on RFI. And until next time, farewell.